pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate you listening. So, come on the program. Former Congressman Parker Griffith will join us at the bottom of the hour for the official Jeff Poor Show Democratic response. Also on the program later on today, State Senator Jim McClendon. He was the sponsor of the infamous gaming bill now made it through the Senate. It remains to be seen what the House will do with it up in Montgomery. But we're keeping a close watch on that for you. But joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. You may remember him, former county commissioner, now a U.S. congressman. Jerry Carl joins us on the line. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. I see the big news today. It seems the Democrats in Congress, in the House, want to expand the Supreme Court, introducing legislation to expand it. I don't know the prospects of it, but this is kind of what we were to expect, at least some kind of gestures in this direction.
Well, I heard the other day, and it made sense. Anybody that voted for Biden, whatever his wish list, you're going to get. So he is following through with all of this. That was not necessarily part of his platform, but he would not deny it during campaign. So we're going to live it out. It's going to come on the House floor, I think today or tomorrow. I was at a very early morning meeting this morning. They talked briefly about it. I don't know that we're going to be able to stop it in the House, but the Senate is looking pretty good. Senate's looking somewhat favorable on killing it. So thank God for the Senate. That's all I can say. I mean, at this point, it's just, we try to slow the bleeding up, and we hope they can completely stop it. It's going to happen, not necessarily pass, but it's going to happen. And it's surprising. They already know what the votes are, obviously. They wouldn't be bringing it up.
The thing about the Senate is it's really standing up, throughout the campaign and the early part after the election, everybody was fearing the worst. But things aren't moving quite as rapidly, I think, as a lot of Republicans had feared, because the Senate's just not not going eliminating the filibuster and just passing a bunch of crazy things.
Well, Manchin has obviously been a huge part in that, and I was afraid, and I talked to some folks last night that know him very well. They said he's a very sincere person, and what he's saying you can believe. And when he says he's had a change, and he said the sixth, January the 6th changed his view on so many things, because he understands now that people don't like the direction the country's going. So I shortened that up. It was a long explanation, but that made me feel good, and what he's doing is making me feel good. I wish we could get a couple of Democrats to step up, and feel the same way and be a little more vocal, because 2022 is coming. There's about 47 of them that are on a hit list. I've got a very strong chance of losing. I know that's a high number, but we only need five. We only need six. I'd love to get 47, a good solid number. But we're down to two right now. We've sworn in Letlow from Louisiana yesterday. So there's only a two-member margin now, so it's getting tighter and tighter here on the floor. And, of course, the death of the Democrat congressman down in South Florida, I think it was over the weekend, pretty sure it was. So we're down to two.
I mean, that's close. That's a nail biter, if you will. Congressman, all too often, whenever we talk about infrastructure and the Democrats' big infrastructure bill, which is really kind of maybe Green New Deal light or something, but people think there's this notion that, well, maybe if we pass this Democrat infrastructure bill, there's going to be money for the I-10 Mobile Bayway, the bridge. Can you address that? And is there any reason to think that is a possibility? Because it seems to me the way we're categorizing infrastructure, it's everything but infrastructure these days.
Well, Jeff, as you all know, what the Senate does and the changes they make, we have no real feel for. I can tell you from where it's at now, we've got zero chance to get money from this infrastructure bill for that bridge project. Now, hopefully, and that's a stretch, hopefully the Senate will try to help us. I have no reason to think that they will, but, you know, we can still hang it out there. But you look at this infrastructure bill, I mean, only 6% of this total 2.5 it's up to now, trillion actually goes towards road and bridges, which to me is the true definition of infrastructure. We do need some help, obviously, in some of the broadband area here in South Alabama. You know, broadband is a huge issue. It should be. It needs to be. If we haven't learned anything from this pandemic, I mean, the broadband and educating our children is one and the same. So we need to focus on that. But there's so many other things that in this bill that it just makes it, it's got a very bad taste for a lot of people. There's a lot of Democrats that's got to look hard at this because they're going to be running on this in 2022. This is what's going to be held over their head.
But they've taken the word infrastructure and they've applied it to a bunch of different social spending programs or whatever. And I guess the thinking here was, well, we pulled infrastructure. Everybody's for infrastructure. And you see this. You see this in the media. They always flash some kind of Quinnipiac poll or some left-leaning poll to say, well, look, even Republicans approve of infrastructure. But they don't. They've just, I would argue, misapplied that label to a lot of different things.
And I heard this analogy the other day. Grass is infrastructure because the grass feeds the cows. The cows produce the beef and the milk, and we eat beef and milk. So, you know, let's put grass in on this bill, too. Everything they want, they're finding a way of getting it to justify and be labeled as infrastructure. And it's a horrible way to run a business. I mean, we're borrowing money that we don't have. We're borrowing money that our grandkids will never pay back. Our great grandkids may be able to pay it back. I mean, we're just borrowing and spending that at a rate that there's no way that we can ever get caught up. And that's the part that scares me the worst, because you know we have some defense issues, we have some true issues up here that we need to be focused on. And again, infrastructure, I'm all for. I mean, we've got a big bridge project. We've got some decaying bridges across America. We need to focus on those and fix those, but not all of this other stuff that's crammed in this bill. It's very frustrating to be sitting up here watching how they're just pushing this stuff through. And again, whoever voted for Biden, I mean, welcome to this world. I mean, he told us the way it was going to be, and it is. Schumer, the same thing. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, they are all wide open. They started talking about packing the courts 3 days ago, and they got a bill ready to go on the floor today. You think about that.
Well, you said something kind of interesting earlier that you look at what the moderate Democrats, and you got this such a thin, narrow majority for Democrats. Knowing 2022 is looming, are you starting to see, a little bit of caution, a little bit of wariness when it comes to the what Pelosi is pushing through? I mean, you look at that other side over there, and you have to wonder that you got to have some very left-leaning progressives, AOC, et cetera, that want to go full charge ahead. Meanwhile, you have people that are, you know, maybe from a purple district or a Trump state or something like that, and who knows what might happen, that are very, very worried about their prospects here in a year and a half. That's got to create some friction, but the infrastructure bill, talking about packing the Supreme Court and so on and so forth, I just think that's just a recipe for turmoil.
I hate to use this analogy, but this was the analogy that I was in a meeting there yesterday. They're talking about what the Democrats are doing. Obviously, we can't stop what they're doing. And the guy says, you know, they're committing suicide. Don't try to stop them by committing murder. Let them go. Just turn them loose, because they're doing everything they can do to destroy the 22 elections for them. There's 47 of them, and I was, again, this morning at a meeting, they're all targeted. They're all within a point and a half or 2 points of losing in their district. 47 seats. And they're going along with these bills. That's going to, they will give the House up with exactly what they're doing here. Now, I'm more worried about the future of our country than I am my seat. So I would rather them, let's do it right. Let's sit down. Let's work this out. It's not my way or the highway. You know, let's work through some of this stuff. And obviously there's some things that I wouldn't get anywhere. Packing this court, I think, is just constitutional. I think it's off the scale. I just can't imagine why any American would feel like that was the right thing to do, other than somebody just wanted ultimate control. And that's what that's about. You know, they're going to control the Supreme Court, the President, the Senate, and the House. I mean, that is ultimate control right there, period.
And there's not much you guys in the House can do to slow a lot of this down. It does sound like Pelosi's kind of backing off of the Jerry Nadler approach of packing the court just now. But it does give you the opportunity. Whenever you see Leader McCarthy on television or talking or anybody else, you do have time, I guess, to focus on looking at the big picture and getting ready for 2022. That seems to be the best approach for Republicans right now. Do what you got to do in the House, but there's not a whole lot you could do. But on the other hand, really try to just live to play another day, it seems.
Yeah, but what we can do, and it's what we are doing, we're getting on the floor, we're arguing our case, we're being as loud as we can. We're using up as much time as we can on the floor to get our opinion out there, and that's our job, is to debate these. And hopefully some of that message will spill over into the Senate, and senators like Manchin will hear what we're saying and get a little bit worried, not necessarily about his reelection, obviously, but about the future of the country. You know, $30 trillion is what we're sneaking up on. Trillion dollars. I asked somebody the other day, what comes after trillion? I had no idea. I used to think billion was crazy. Now we're talking about billions and, you know, like dollar bills in our pocket up here. Now it's moved into the trillion range, which, you know, the average person, you know, that sweeping floors and trying to raise the family and get to and from work, I mean, I would be so disheartened with what I see up here. But we can't give up. We can't quit. I mean, we've got to keep making noise. We've got to keep being heard. We have to run for 2022. We have to take the House, and we will. You know, we've got to take the Senate. There's a third of those Senate seats coming up in 2022 also, and focus on bringing some sanity back to this government. But right now, it is so out of control. It's hard to comprehend. The socialists are just running rampant up here. And I refuse to believe there's that many Democrats up here that believe the stuff coming out of the mouths up here. I mean, they're talking about doing away with policing, period, all law enforcement. Where would we be? Are we going to take up our guns and defend the streets ourselves? Is that where we want this to go? That's what we're seeing. You know, we're on the borderline of it in Minnesota. I mean, just people going to the streets and tearing and looting and stealing. You got the Democrats up here supporting them, saying they've got the right to do that. And instead of trying to help law enforcement and get folks in there to peacefully, let them peacefully protest. It's a very, very scary time for this country, and we've got to elect people that are willing to stand up and call it the way it is. I mean, one of the things I'm so tired of hearing up here is white privilege and racist. I am so tired of hearing that. When I sit down in a committee meeting and every decision made in that committee meeting is based on race, where I'm from, that's racist. And you know, we got to start calling that out.
Congressman, real quick, we got to get you out of here, I know, but I wanted to ask you to kind of bury down in playbook or huddle or whatever I was reading this morning. Capitol Police just seemed to be a big-time problem. And the January 6th incident, and by all accounts, there were some systemic issues with the Capitol Police, and that now they're coming out. The January 6th myth of an insurrection, maybe more and more looking to me like a lot of failures within the Capitol Police. Are you paying attention to that?
I I said on the 7th, the plot happened there was everything to do with Nancy Pelosi. She let the guard down. She did not put up a strong line of defense. She did not put up national guard. Ultimately, that's her choice. It was her choice then. So she did not have a significant enforcement group out there. Capitol Police, hands are tied. I mean, they do a great job protecting us, and I thank every one of them I walk by. But their hands are tied what they can or cannot do, and I don't know what those parameters are. But as the leader of the House, her responsibility was to have enough law enforcement out there to protect this building. She didn't do it for whatever reason, whether she intended it to turn into a riot or not, and I don't necessarily believe that. I don't think she would allow that to happen. But it ultimately falls on her, and everybody keeps skirting around that issue, and they don't want to call it the way it truly is. That's the way it is. Don't blame Capitol Police. Don't blame Donald Trump. Blame the person that's in charge. The person in charge is Nancy Pelosi.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, but as always, we appreciate you making time for us.
Thank you. Thank you. And y'all, please keep every one of these elected officials nationwide, state, local, keep them in your prayers, please.
Congressman Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065.
Cheap hotel, the desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold.